We come home and came this way empty, and they used to call us out. And also I remember when my parents lived at another smokehouse, my ancestors' smokehouse on the other side, 4 miles, where the farmers are. And up below 4 miles, near the river, is where Solomon Johnson and his brother Samuel smokehouse, two smokehouses, like I said, where only niece lived, and her sons and her husband. The husband comes. He's a wolf leader, loose. They were from Eldorton, and he was one of the leaders. He got his own house at Eldorton. That's where they lived. And my parents and grandmother lived at our own smokehouse one time. And Solomon Johnson lives at our smokehouse because he is our ancestor's son. And what he did when he lived there is what the Indians call on the board, because that means he got every right to be there, because it belongs to his dad's relation. And we were there. I am guilty again, because Solomon is her white name is Sapphire, and her chief name is Gwala. And the other brother stays at their own smokehouse with the other auntie. And we one time we were picking berries, we visit them. Oh, they were so glad. We had lunch together and they gave, auntie gave her sister some what they're called, they didn't call it anything, they call it the juice of the berries. They call it Akshanai, but if you drink it, you will get drunk. And she gave her sister some Akshanai, and they were enjoying themselves. Finally, the auntie gave us some iron turkey. For the first time we tasted anything like that. I did drink it, and turkey drink it. don't know whether it's the juice of soap berries or juice of blueberries, because it's already ripe that time. But when we walk home, then we feel it as if we were swaying around, and we both laugh. Getting used to remember it today, how we got drunk when we drink the juice at juice of berries, they call it Aksamai. And her grandmother, our auntie, walks really fast in the woods. She's tall and very slim, and they all work hard for berries and some fish. And the smokehouse name is Andai. It belongs to the house of Devasa and Kalevi. They used to lift their wagons and horses at the outside one of the farmers. And they go by trail on the side of that little mountain where the lookout is on the top today. The trail goes on the side of the mountain, not very far, and they call this mountain they call it Ash Ansalda. That's the wind of Ansalda. Salda means when you go there you will see how the rocks are so thin and they're very smooth. And they were just on the side of the mountain until it gets to the end of this mountain, then the trail go down to near the river where the smokehouse stands, and there the name of this smokehouse is Andar. They call it Andar. And there's another smokehouse above Andar. They said it belongs to Chief Ayers, that's late William Dick and his wife used to live there, and we could hear the dogs bark from the smokehouse, but I didn't see it, I didn't go there, but they could tell. You could tell where the old smokehouse stands before. And Ellis and family would build a smokehouse there if they want to, because it belongs to their ancestors. Oh. And after they finished the fish, they would go out and pick berries, pick some cranberries. Dried, I have seen them dried berries. It lasts long and they always have their bannock bread, they call it bannock, bake near the fireside, and some really butter from the farmers, which tastes really good with the hot. And I never forget that. Sometimes I would like to make some bannock near an open fire. They store the fish, they've got a place where they store it, which they call amusement van, a 4-footed little building. It's high, they just use a ladder to store the fish where it's cool. My dad used to lift the net across the smokehouse. There were two fishing sites across it too. They catch some hoho and steelheads during the month of September to October. And after they moved back to the village, they left the net in there so that they will always have fresh fish. And my dad just used a shadow horse to check the net. And he brought home some coho, as big as the spring salmon too. They were really big, both coho and steelheads. And the late Solomon Johnson lives there till we can't put out any natives. Aged and lost his eyesight, so that's when he stopped. As long as he lived, he lived at his father's ancestor's smokehouse. That's the law of the Indians, and none of his tribe will take over. It goes back to the family crest. And it's about the church again. Perhaps I didn't see Pierce stay in the village, but we used to meet in Prince Rupert, where he lives after he's retired. Then you remember what I said before, that Robert Tomlinson live up the valley of Sean Redless, where the Sportsman's Lodge is. So his son came, and his name is Robert too. And he, perhaps his dad teaches him our language, and he really knows the language. He even knows the old words, and he came. I didn't remember when he came, but as far as I could remember, they were already live at the mission house that was burnt down near the church. His wife and three children, they were all girls, and his mother too. He knows the language too. Perhaps after his dad died, then they come back up here again. And that's why I know a lot, not just me, a lot of young people know so much about the Bible, because Robert knows our language and he really explains it at Sunday school. My great-great-grandmother used to pour water in a basin and told me to wash my hair on Saturday. You'll be going to Sunday school tomorrow, she said. They gave us all those large pictures about Jesus and his disciples. He really works really hard in the village until Wiley's children are still small. His wife died in 1917 or 18. Perhaps it's on her stone up here. She's buried up there in Kislyak. Robert's wife. I remember when mother and auntie were fixing their garden across there at her stepdad's smokehouse. We hear the bell rang. Oh, it's Hush, we funeral to grave, they said, one day at a time. So let's go, they said. You stay here, they said to me, and look after baby. That was Stanley when he was still in a cradle. And they went back to attend the funeral of the minister. Not long after that, he got married again to a Christian lady, and they moved to Hazleton, and he works at the hospital, because he's a carpenter too, and he could fix anything. And that's where they lived before they moved away. And we heard he died. I don't know whether his wife's back again. And then another minister came. His name is Reverend Sanson. He's a returned soldier of the First World War, and he gets mad real easy. And he doesn't understand about the natives, and he sometimes he really gets mad at the congregation. I remember that somebody's in jail for drinking that what they call fruit juice at Shammai. And he was caught, and at the court they asked him what did he drink, and he told them it's fruit juice, and they asked him, where did he get the money to buy it? And he said he told them that he no work that time. And he said he got it from the feast. And whose feast? And he told them. Then the minister's face turned real red. Perhaps he drinks fruit juice too. That's why he's like that. I better get off the pulpit, he said, and he stepped down. Shame on you, Gisvayap, shame on you, he said. He doesn't treat the people like Pierce and Duncan and Robert Tomlinson. And And when he was still here, I remember in 1924, when that guy is still here. Sometimes they ask the ladies to bring refreshment. This was while the village is still in Methodist Church. And all the ladies are really willing to bring along something, because they like it when they gather together and eat together. Our fellowship went to another. And then my mother brought along something for lunch. And the church that was a large church, the Methodist, they call it the people of the village, call this church Holy Church. That's where they hold the services in the morning on Sunday school at 2 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock they hold their service, the people hold their service down below the village here. I know where the spot where this church stands, that's where Dr. Nurse and his family house are today. That's where the church used to stand. They call this church meeting house. With meeting, they say. And they had service there at 3 o'clock. They marched through the village for the open air meeting. The village is really nice. When I was small, I thought it would be still like that. And we stopped at where the young people used to practice for football or any kind of game in front of the feast houses. I know the spot. I used to take pictures there because I have seen them, those that hold the open air, shed their tears on that very spot and pray for the village. There were many people used to come out and listen, stand on the hill and listen to them. And when they come back, the church is really packed of people. Nearly, they got what they call a brass band here. The guy from the coast, I forget his name, I've seen this guy, and he's the one that teaches the young men to play the instrument, and they play real good. whenever there's a funeral, a whole band came and while the coffin is still, first came still in the house, the band goes there to play the instruments. Real nice music. And at the funeral they came again. Whenever there's a party in the community hall, the band are always on the platform playing and entertaining the people. But today they died out. One of the young people here to learn the instruments, even though the school in Hazleton, I think that one or two from the village that learned last winter. They just don't care. They didn't understand it's very hard to be without music after seeing it used by the village for the past many years.